What's up, y'all, and welcome into the Jack Vita Show. I'm your host, as always, Jack Vita. We are talking about the latest episode of Deal or No Deal Island, episode 5. And today's a little bit of a different episode because Brooke can't be here, but we got a great person filling in for Brooke, joining us for the whole hour, believe it or not. She was so generous with her time. Even after doing like 20 exit interviews today, we've got the latest contestant eliminated from Deal or No Deal Island, Miranda Harrison. Miranda, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jack. It's an honor to be here. Like I said, I got big shoes to fill, so let's get this hour going. And
so we've been loving this show, Deal or No Deal Island. Guys, if you are interested in this channel, please hit subscribe. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever YouTube or wherever podcasts are found, I should say. I'm coming to you live today from Scottsdale. Every single time we're talking, it's a different background because I'm couch surfing right now. But sunny Scottsdale. Just went to the Cubs game with the latest person who was eliminated last week, Kim Matina. Isn't Kim great?
Kim's awesome. I mean, she's somebody who you don't want to sleep on. You know, she's not that old lady when you look at her. She's a fun person to hang out with, and she gets wild.
So, Miranda, before we dig into this episode, I'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself. What drew you to Deal or No Deal Island, and what is it that you, we touched on a little bit in the episode, but what is it that you do for a living?
Good question, Jack. So what I do for a living is I'm an exterminator. I've been killing bugs and snakes and varmints for about 4 years now with a company called Terminex. So I'm always outside. I'm always, you know, in the elements, whether it's raining all day or it's super hot. I'm running through people's backyards and kind of feeling like I'm in the jungle already. So when I saw this casting, I think the very first casting I've ever even applied to in my life. And I was so drawn to it. And I felt like this was my moment to showcase all of my skills and everything that I've been preparing for growing up as a child. So it was just kind of felt like fate in the moment. Being a pest control technician, going to remote island and having to deal with snakes and living outdoors for a whole month, it just kind of felt up my alley.
So going into this episode, where were you standing in the game? Did things really just kind of shift really quickly for you? Did everything that kind of transpired in this episode catch you by shock? Where were you at entering this episode?
So entering the episode, going into the challenge, I was going to be a target for going to up against the banker. It was kind of, you know, I didn't think, because I'm good at the challenges. And if I know I'm good at the challenges and I, you know, can hold my own, I can get through it. But at this particular challenge, no matter how well I did, if I was persuaded into just giving up a case and getting a different case, that was my end game in the moment. So, you know, I was completely shocked, but at the same time, I wasn't in disbelief because me and Aaron did not create an alliance. We didn't really talk too much. It was just, when we did talk, it wasn't a strategy.
So they show you early on in this episode saying that you don't want to talk about strategy. They make an emphasis on Miranda's not into playing games and strategy and all this stuff. And last week they highlighted this. Was that really the case? Were you really not being strategic at all?
No. So it's kind of funny to me because it does look bad in the viewer's eyes, but that was exactly my goal. The reason why Aaron put me up to go against the banker is because he assumed that I was on his team. Because he didn't really know where I lied. He didn't know which side I was at. And in the moment, I was the most trustworthy person to him to get Stephanie out. So my whole goal was to not allow anybody to understand what my strategy was because every day it changed. I had to adapt to my surroundings. And I would hear people's strategies almost every day just changing up. And so I started to look at that person like, well, you said this was your strategy. And then now tomorrow, this is your strategy, and you're talking crap about this person today. So I stayed back and I listened, and you'll see me in a lot of the videos. I'm like, you know, kind of in the background listening. But I did not want the people who I had my eyes on, I did not want them to know anything of my strategy. I wanted them to think that I was just on a vacation and I wasn't thinking about anything and nothing's going on in my brain. But the whole time I was definitely being very strategic. I just didn't want people to take what I would say and misconstrue it. You know, one person can use me and be like, hey, Miranda said this and this, what do you think about that? And I just never wanted to be that topic of conversation. And so it kind of worked out in my favor because Aaron and even Alyssa, you know, they had this moment of, well, I think we can, you know, make Miranda trust us. And I think we can make Miranda get Stephanie out. And that was their biggest mistake.
Yeah. You sure let that one blow up in their face?
Let it match.
So the episode opens with Aaron has been deemed the most trustworthy person, and he gets put in this situation where he really has to do some backstabbing. He's put in this challenge. What'd you think of this, or I should call it the excursion?
Well, honestly, if I was in Aaron's shoes, I get his strategy. He needed somebody to pick these cases, and he picked the two people who he assumed would trust him the most to get the cases. So that was a good gameplay. I mean, he saved himself. He really did. But it was an end game at that moment for me. You know, I knew in this moment, I was like, okay, well, this isn't the end. Like, put me up against a banker. I was never afraid to go up against a banker. To be able to go and do a game of no deal, all of that, some people go home like Branson and he didn't even get to play. So it was an honor to be able to go up against the banker and, you know, leave a little bombshell.
Well, and you got to come home with some money too.
Yes, I know. Not only did I win the $20,000 in the second excursion, the banker offered me the $40,000 personal offer. And in that moment, you know, $40,000, I've been around millions of dollars this whole game. So once you start to see $40,000, you're like, oh, that's like chump change. But I had to get my brain out of that and be like, okay, listen, when I leave here and I go home and everything starts to die down, will I be $40,000 in or will I be a millionaire? There was only kind of two options. So I really had to think about it, and I realized that, you know, I didn't want to be too greedy, and I did play a really good game. I did have a really good board, so I could have had a chance to possibly, you know, deny that personal offer and make it onto the show and continue on. But then who's to say next week I wouldn't get that personal offer and I would get eliminated from a challenge. And I just didn't want to put myself in that position. And so I took it, and, you know, nobody can take that money from me now. So
you wanted to secure.
Yeah.
Take, you know, $40,000 just right there. You know, and then if you end up losing and you don't get that money, it's like, oh, shoot.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, and then, like I said, if you get eliminated and you don't even have a chance to go up against the banker, it just sucks. It would have been a sucky situation. So I love the way that it turned out for me.
So you had four cases left at the time. There was $100. 1.5 million, 1.75 and 3 million. Yes. That's a lot of money. And you got offered 937 with a personal offer of 40. This is the first time that a personal offer has come into this game, right?
Yeah, that was actually really insane to me. Like, and I know the original deal or no deal. So when he called the second time, I was like in shock. I was like, no way is this happening to me, you know, because we're already five games in and it's never happened. And so I was shocked for sure.
Well, it was very interesting because it's just like interesting to me to see the dollar values and then to see like personal offer. Like it's hard to compute because I guess it's almost like it made it feel real in a way because it kind of feels like Monopoly money when you keep seeing these cases, but you're not actually taking that money in the moment.
Yep. Yeah, it felt really real. It felt like everything was kind of flashing through my eyes. Like, what could I do with $40,000? You know, like, I have to understand that, like, I had a goal when I got onto the show. I had reasons why I needed, you know, the $1 million. And I didn't want to push too hard towards it. There's only going to be one winner. And the fact that I had this opportunity, I had to take it. It was just an opportunity given to me in the moment. And it was a special one. So it was kind of a no-brainer after the wheels started turning and I started realizing, like, you know, I want to go home and feel like a winner.
So then what happens after that?
So once I, you know, accepted the offer, I almost had a second chance. We had to open up my case to see if I had the $100 case. If I had the $100 case, I would have been able to take the money and stay in the game and then boot somebody out. So then we realized what was in my case. I opened it. It was like $1,500,000. So it turned out to be a bad deal. And then I wanted to kind of drop a bombshell and let my cast members kind of know what's going on behind the scenes. So I went and I told Joe that I wanted to get Alyssa out. And the whole time, Aaron was trying to get me to get Stephanie out. And I was like, okay, let's do it. We're going to get Stephanie out. I got you. Don't worry. But the whole time I was going to break up their alliance. Their alliance was too creepy to me. You know, Alyssa was protecting herself at the same time Aaron was protecting herself. So I needed to break that barrier. And, I dropped the bombshell, and the way Aaron and Alyssa looked at each other when I said, you know, Aaron wanted to get you out, Stephanie, I knew that was going to divide the camp once they went back.
You said creepy. Why creepy?
Just super creepy. I mean, well, you know, like Alyssa is just completely like, I don't know what it was about it. It almost was like she didn't want to be, he was all over her, you know, they would give hugs and she would rub his back and he would constantly just be like, I'm not putting Alyssa up against the banker. And Alyssa kind of wanted to go up against the banker. Alyssa was cool with it, but Aaron just didn't think that that was a good idea because he wanted her safe. So it was a little bit more protective than what we thought. And so that's why I was like, wow, I really got to break up this alliance because it's a little bit too strong for me. I got to make a weakness point in this. You know, I mean, I started to see that it was Alyssa and Aaron more than what it was Rob and Aaron.
So does Rob think that up to this point, do you think part of why Rob has teamed up with Aaron is because he thinks that Aaron's somebody that's going to just kind of go along and do whatever he says type of thing? And he's starting to see a little bit of Aaron playing the game a little more for himself.
Yeah, I think from the beginning when Aaron had already told him that he's a big fan and he knows who Boston Rob is. And I think Rob kind of took on a father figure for him. And so they kind of bonded that way. And the whole time you can see that Rob's kind of what I would say grooming him, you know, being nice to him, protecting him, only for his benefit. But at the same time, Aaron's doing the same thing. You know, you don't see Aaron's being like, you see that he's being a puppet, you know, but at the same time, Aaron kind of surprises us with his shenanigans. But when I see his shenanigans, it's more towards Alyssa. So the times you see him kind of betray Rob is only because of Alyssa.
So it kind of feels like, and obviously we're not going to talk about what actually happens in the future episodes, but from a viewer standpoint and just kind of me reading the show, it's like, it's interesting because we're seeing the groundwork laid here where last week it was like Rob kind of he tells it basically is trying to get Aaron to throw the excursion so that he could be safe. And Aaron says no. And then Aaron actually beats him. And then this week there's this whole confrontation where he says, all right, tell me what case I need to get. And then he's kind of saying, hey, should I go in the bottom too and go get that key for you? And then he says, well, I'll put you up instead of Alyssa. And Rob is, this is like the final moment where Rob, I think, realizes I can't control this guy.
No, and I saw that way before Rob did. But at the same time, there was a moment in my in the situation where I thought it was a setup. I thought maybe Rob was pretending that he was drifting away from Aaron. And because I remember Rob telling me, he's like, oh, I don't know if I trust Aaron. Is Aaron, you know, pulling a fast one on me? Miranda, do you really want that case? And Rob did come to me. I think Rob was actually, he knew I had the key at that point. And that's when he came to me in the game. He's like, hey, Miranda, I don't know if we should trust Aaron. And I was like, just trust Aaron, because I think Rob was trying to get that case from me. If I were to give that case up, he would take that case, I believe, if that's how that worked. I think he really wanted the power again. But I told him, hey, let's just trust Aaron. And that's evidently, I kept that case. But he knew about it. And then Stephanie was actually going to be the one who had the case or the key case. But then she mentioned Alyssa. And I think that scared Aaron, because if Stephanie were to have won, because she mentioned Alyssa, it looked like Stephanie was going to get Alyssa out if she won. So I think that was the reason why he switched up and was like, let me not do Stephanie. I'm going to do Miranda.
So when Rob comes to you and says, and you think he wants your case, is he then going to play that case, or is he going to go put it somewhere else so that way Aaron can't have the power?
See, that I don't know, because that could have worked out either way in his favor. I mean, it wouldn't have even been bad if he put Rob up for the final two, because it's not going to harm Aaron's game and it wouldn't harm Alyssa's game. So I don't know why he really didn't give the key to Rob. There were so many outcomes to it. It's just he named all these people of who he couldn't trust, and I was just that iffy person that he just didn't know. And it was kind of that wild card, you know, and backfired real well on him. But that's the thing, like, you know, just like he says in the beginning, you got to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't think that everybody else plays that way, too.
Yeah, okay, that's a really interesting point. So you're saying that Rob kind of plays the game thinking that people aren't as smart as he is.
Well, and you, he has a PhD in psychology, so maybe that's not everybody has that, but he was using all of those things in every excursion. He was looking at people's facial expressions. You know, he was using what he learned in Survivor and in his master's degree. So, you know, Rob was putting in work in the game, but he was burning himself out real fast, it seems.
Interesting. Yeah, so I'm just curious, though, because, I mean, like, if he ends up taking the case, does he want to face the banker then? Because, or is he trying to force his hand so Alyssa will face the banker?
So he trusts Alyssa more than he trusts me. But at this point, I don't know. From what I saw is he'd rather him go to beat the banker than me. And if he could get the case away from me, because he didn't know, he said he didn't trust me. As he shouldn't. You know, we had conversations, but it was never about, you know, strategy, because he would tell me a lot of his strategies, but it was bull crap. It was, you know, like, hey, you know, you're the only one I trust and stuff like that. And it's just, you can't bullshit. I guess you can call me a bullshit. I saw right through him. And I think the biggest mistake was when people were calling him out on his bullshit. You know, it's when somebody's trying to lie or something like that, you have to just kind of take it as it is and use it as knowledge rather than throw it in their face so they can be like a narcissist or gaslight you and say, I didn't say that. Or, hey, what happened? That famous line Rob said, what happened?
Speaking of narcissists, did you have any idea that Dawson was a narcissist? What the heck?
No idea. No. And the fact that he's so open about it is really cool, because I think he's the first person I've ever met with narcissism traits. I mean, he's just really good at manipulation. He's good at getting what he wants. He's a, you know, I mean, good for him, but he didn't use it on me. I mean, he's a charmer. I'll say that. and he's got really good skincare, but I had no idea. Yeah, that was
so. So Rob seems like he's paranoid here because he feels that no matter what, you would take him out. However, on the show, you said that you'd take Alyssa out. Were you at all considering Rob?
No, not really, because, I mean, first of all, I wanted Rob to feel that way. Because in the last game, when Amy put Rob up against the banker, it kind of gave him the power. And I, you know, I want him to be able to just sit there and sulk in the no control. You know, that's what he wanted. He wanted control and everything. So if you could just, you know, take that control from him and let him just soak in it. So it was great seeing him sit there and stuff. And I knew like he was nervous. Like there's something about him on how he acts. He gets a little bit too nice. He starts to have these random conversations with you really fast. But I mean, again, gotta respect the play of it. Any moment I wanted to get Boston Rob out, but I felt like so many people were out to get Boston Rob and nobody was really seeing this alliance that needed to be broken up. Once you break that alliance up, then you kind of, there's just like chaos within it. And that's kind of what's needed to happen. They were just too strong and Boston Rob was too confused as to what's going on with Aaron. So, you know, there was a moment where I wanted to get Boston Rob out, but I genuinely just wanted to piss Aaron off because that would have made him so upset. Like, way upset. Like, yeah.
You're an agent of chaos.
I like that. It actually has a ring to it. So I'm going to take that and run with it. And he played his cards. I'm his agent of chaos, and he played me, and he got dealt those cards. So I can't imagine the division I crossed at camp because it's got to be between them three. And then if I were to go back to camp, I would be like, hey, we got to divide. We got to figure this out. You're on whose side? You're on whose side? Best man wins. That's how I would take it.
Agent of Chaos, that can be a tagline for your Instagram bio.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to do it, actually.
So even before Aaron tries to think that he can manipulate you, would you have gone for Alyssa then, or was part of the fact that he, so let's say hypothetically this is a different situation where someone else wins the mission and they put you in front of the banker, were you going to try to go flip around and get that person's closest ally, regardless of who that was, because they were screwing you? Or were you locked in on this would shake up the game the best if I went after Alyssa?
Yeah, that part for sure. Like I don't want to say I was just too disgusted with the alliance that they had, but it was too strong. I needed to break it up. I wanted to see Aaron kind of freak out a little bit, you know, like he seemed maybe like he was like in love with her for a little bit. So I wanted to, you know, just cut it short for them. And I needed to break that extra barrier that Alyssa had, because Aaron was being protected by Rob, which then, you know, so it was just this huge barrier between us, them three. And if I got Aaron out, I don't think Alyssa would be that upset. Because Alyssa and Rob would then be together, you know, and create this like ultimate two or whatever. So Alyssa was the best bet in my opinion. And I wanted to kind of stir some things up.
That's really interesting. So basically Rob's the obvious target. And then Aaron's kind of like the second target too. If you're on that outside, if you're someone like Amy, who was clearly gunning for Rob last week, yeah. If she has the power and she can send somebody home, she's going to send home Rob. But if she can't send home Rob, she's going to send home Aaron. And Alyssa's kind of like protected by both those two guys, like as like a wall of protection, like an offensive line.
Exactly. Now, who's to say that's going to be to come, because Rob's kind of catching up on Aaron, you know, and I'm trying to think on who Rob would want to get out, you know, imagine, you know, whether it be Stephanie or Alyssa, because he might think that because him and Aaron, if You know, I mean, I wouldn't even doubt Rob trying to get Alyssa out because of how Aaron and Alyssa are. It's kind of, you just can't trust them anymore because of how strong they became.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if Rob tries to do a move where it's like, well, if I could get Alyssa out, or if I could put up somebody who wants to get Alyssa out, then Aaron will be forced to like be more loyal to me. He doesn't have another option. He's got to stick with me.
Yeah. And then, which is an okay thing, but Aaron isn't the best at any challenges. So he's kind of, you know, he's good, but he's kind of dead weight at the same time. So is that who you want your final two to be? Probably. Yeah. So he can get to the final two and then he can beat Aaron. But so many people are gunning for Rob, and I wouldn't doubt Aaron going against Rob. Like, if Alyssa's gone, I feel like the next target would be Aaron. Or, I mean, so the next target for Aaron would be Rob. Like, a nice blindside, yeah. If he was smart about it.
Yeah, I mean, they've already laid some clues there where Aaron has sort of said, like, can I actually trust him all the way? Like, even the first episode where Rob kind of, I think, last second tried to change the target. I think it may have been Stephanie in the first episode where they did get Branson out, but he went and he said, we need to get someone else out. Was that Stephanie? I think it was Stephanie.
On the first episode?
Yeah, in the first episode.
Oh, yes. So he wanted Stephanie out first and he was like, okay, yeah. Well, and he said that everybody's agreeing on Branson. Why don't we just let that slide and actually get Stephanie out? So, which is, you know, I would say smart gameplay move, because it's like, all right, everyone agrees on Branson, so we'll get him out maybe next round, but let's blindside somebody right now or get somebody out who we really need to. And then next round, if somebody needs to get out, we already have somebody. So I could kind of see it, but again, you know, you can't go in there thinking that your strategy is going to work, because then you have Alyssa in the second episode, I believe, or third episode. And Stephanie and Claudia had this plan that they spoke about, and it kind of just went up in flames, and that could pin target on your back, having a strategy and then having it kind of go up in flames. But I'm sure Rob in his life has had issues like that. You know, he's lost Survivor, won Survivor. So I'm sure he's had issues blow up in his face before. So it's gameplay, you know, if you don't take it too personal, then should be okay.
Entering this episode, where does everybody come? How would you like break people up into groups in terms of alliances? Who's your number one? And are there like a few different groups of who's tight with who? Is there a little bit of some people that are kind of in the middle? How is that all shaken out?
So from my point of view, the closest ones to me are obviously the people, the tent, we call tent three, the people who I tented with was Amy and Nick. We did have Branson, but he left the first episode. So it was just me and Amy and Nick in one tent. And then you had five girls in the other tent. And then you had the four guys in one. I would say that Stephanie and Kim kind of formed a good alliance together. Alyssa was kind of with Kim for a good minute until that plan happened. Me, Amy, and Nick were kind of together, and then you would see Boston, Rob, Alyssa, and Aaron. And then Dawson was kind of teetering, trying to figure out what he wanted. He was close to Kim. I did see that. Jordan, just kind of, you know, kind of the same gameplay as me, you know, just kind of moving along, talking to everybody, not really getting together, you know, she's weighing her options out. So Amy and Alyssa had a strong alliance, and then I started noticing a strong alliance between Stephanie and Kim. Started seeing that. But then again, it's so weird. All these alliances changed up all the time, so you couldn't understand like who was being shady or why, or it was getting cutthroat out there.
I think Kim mentioned last week that her and Stephanie were both big-time fans of reality TV. They knew who Rob was. I don't know. Was there anyone else like that?
I'm not quite sure from what I know.
But those two for sure.
For sure. Yep. I did hear about that a lot. I think that's what they had. They both know who Rob was. I think even she knew who Kim was from Sequester. So they definitely, wow. I mean, they definitely you know, hit it off. I know Stephanie would, I think it's Stephanie, I don't know which one it would do, but Stephanie and Kim, they would like wake up like really early, 3-4 in the morning, tap on the tent window and go off and have like secret conversations. So, you know, and Stephanie, you know, had her loyalty to Kim the whole time, which I saw. But, you know, it was kind of, we tried to not show how strong we were with alliances, because then it ended up like an Alyssa and an Aaron type thing where it was okay. Like, you can't trust both of those people now. I don't know why other people didn't think of breaking up an alliance. You know, if I saw like Stephanie and Kim and they were killing it and they were just doing everything right, I would want to split it up. Just, that's just the gameplay, you know, just weaken the system.
So early in the episode, we see Rob smooth talking everybody, and he's like, oh man, like I'm in trouble. I need to kind of check in with everybody and build more bonds and make alliances with everybody. And he's like, I'm a free agent. Is he making any inroads here? Or is everyone just kind of like, ah, Rob, we know what you're doing. Is he just doing this for TV? Like, what's going on?
So his commentary is so funny, because I had no idea that he was creating this narrative for himself. You know, there were moments where I overheard him saying the same thing to different groups, but I was just kind of questionable about it, because he never came to me about it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm listening on what's going on, but like, why aren't you coming to me about this, like, alliances? But I never saw his little motives, where his little face would change, or the moments where he called Dawson Dalton. And he was very clever on how he did it. But I picked up on his bull crap real fast. I mean, I think it was in the last episode where he was talking crap about, you know, Amy. He came over to talk to me and Stephanie, and he was trying to talk about Amy, saying, oh, I think, you know, Amy's talking crap. And I was like, Rob, relax. Like, you're talking about Amy here. Like, chill out. And then he looked at me like, damn, okay. he's a strifester, but it's funny to see him do that. He reminds me of my older brother, like, to the T. Like, it was just this ornery little kid that was bored on the island. And I, you know, yeah. I couldn't understand it at first. I was like, why is he whining a lot? I felt like he was whining a lot, but he was just playing around and causing strife. But he kept saying, like, I'm paranoid, or, you know, man, it doesn't feel nice to just be, I just got here and I already have a target on my back, which I get it. It does suck. And I will tell you this. I feel like within our team, we are the ones who created this paranoia by putting targets on people's backs for the stupidest reasons. So, like, it's to a point where, like, you couldn't do something, or you couldn't walk off from a conversation so fast, or else you're going to go tell that intel to somebody else. When, in fact, it wasn't that. You just got bored and you wanted to go swimming, you know? But it's just, like, you started to instill that fear on everybody. Like, oh, man, look at her. She's probably going to talk some crap, when that wasn't it, you know? But that's where all the paranoia came. It started becoming very, you know, chaotic, I think, after episode 3.
Well, and you guys have no playbook on how to do this, because the first time the show has ever existed. There's no game film for you guys to watch to prep yourselves for how to play it.
No, not at all. This is all me, baby. This everything that happened to the falling tree in episode 2 or 3 was all natural, and it was super wild, and you cannot script this. And it's, you know, a lot of people, I do see some comments thinking it's rigged, and it's like, there's just no way that this competition could be rigged. It's all about luck. You can have a strategy, you can be an athlete, you can be a pro swimmer, but you could have lost to Kim, because that's just the luck of the show. And I think that's the best part, is everybody gets a chance, regardless of who you are as a person. Everybody gets a chance to win this money fair and square.
What was your favorite thing about the game?
The fact that it's all these things that I would pay to do. That's the, like every excursion I would pay to do. I would, just before I was actually in Puerto Rico, and in Puerto Rico, they have the longest and highest zip line in the world. And it was, I paid to do that, you know, and then I'm in Panama and you guys got me in the trees for free, swinging me down, you know, the jet skis and the boats and just, it was just the fact that I was able to do all of it. It was fun. Some people, it was fearful to them, which is okay. But I miss being able to challenge myself. That was like the best part. You know, you really can't do that out here unless you go back on the show. There's really no chances to do that. So it was a once in a lifetime thing for me.
Another thing from this episode that I think is worth noting is there's also this moment where Stephanie tells Aaron, don't trust Alyssa. She's a snake. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yes. And, but that's what, at first I thought that's what might've helped her because he then didn't give her the key, but it was to Aaron's surprise. As soon as she said that, he was like, oh wow, I cannot give her this key because if she does and goes up against the banker, because Stephanie's a strong woman, she will go up against that banker and she will get out whoever she wants. So if he was then realizing as soon as Stephanie said that to him, he was like, oh dude, I cannot put Stephanie up against the banker. Because he had a feeling that one of them would go home, which is great that, you know, that happened because it put me in a better position to where I was at. Like I said, it started off really like sucky, but it ended out really well for me.
Yeah. So have the strategies been shifting over time? Like early on is the focus, okay, we want this person out, so we're going to have them face the banker. And now it's becoming more of like, we don't want to put up the person we want up because then they're going to have all the power. So now it's like, we want people who we think will be obedient, or we're predicting what we think they will do. And so therefore, if I put this person up, they'll get out this person and that won't hurt me.
Yeah, what's really odd is every time somebody's put up against a banker, everybody's playing as if somebody's going to win. So it's never like, oh, let's put Kim to beat the banker because she's not going to win. Like, it was never that. It was like, if Kim wins, you know, who is she going to get out? And then that's where the fear happened, was because everybody thought somebody was going to win, somebody was going to get somebody out. There was never a moment where it was just like, oh yeah, we're going to put her up and she's just going to take herself out. I think only one person so far has taken herself out other than me, was Claudia. Right? No, she got
it. Yeah. Yeah. So far. Yep. It's just, you and Claudia are the only ones who secured a bad deal, not a good deal.
Yeah. Okay. It's all right. I'd rather have that than, you know, like I said, when there's going to be issues, like when Branson, he left with no money and he didn't even go against the banker. I think a big part of the show is going up against the banker. It's literally you're playing Deal or No Deal, which is the best. I was so happy. You saw how happy I was. I was so happy on that stage. I was like, oh my God, this is a dream. It's not Howie Mandel, but it's Joe. So hello. Maybe my flirting did get me somewhere. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know who the banker is. Ah.
Yeah, the banker, he got the call. He said, the banker wants you to stop flirting with me. He's jealous.
So it must be a guy, huh? You never know. Because they've had girl bankers too. I was thinking, I was like, oh, must be jealous. So I was still trying to piece together who the banker was while I was still up there. The whole time I'm still, because they leave little hints throughout the game and they ask me all the time. I'm like, is it Trump? Donald Trump, you know? Billy, it would make sense. It would make sense. Wouldn't it? Oh my gosh. It would make sense. Stay tuned.
I think if I had to guess the banker, I would guess Howie. That would be such a great reveal. It's like Howie just walks out in the finale and he's the banker. He's become the banker after all these years.
That would be interesting, but he's a germaphobe.
True.
Which means like the fact that he couldn't even be a host. I mean, on the thing, like who to say that he was a banker? He's probably freaking, I don't know where he's at. America's Got Talent or something. Or no, American Idol. What does he do?
I don't know. Oh. I'm not sure.
We don't know.
Deal or no deal. So you did mention a little bit of your motivation of coming out and wanting to build this ladybugs business and also help out with hurricane relief. Have you been able to do either of those things?
So, well, I haven't gotten the money yet to help with the hurricane relief stuff, but I have been a part of a bunch of like, kind of groups to figure out what we were going to do. So the school was going to be, what's it called? Tore down. There was this beach school on the island. And I went there, my mom went there, and it was going to be tore down. And then we realized that it was a historical building in the back, so they couldn't tear it down. And they have these like trailers up right now. So we're kind of going from there. But the ladybugs, you know, the idea is going, the LLC is going, but there's a lot of legal terms right now with working, because I'm with a company right now. And I signed a contract about 4 years ago. And it's like, if I open up my own business, I have to do it elsewhere. I got to take like a year gap and I have to, not steal clients. Like I have to build a whole new clientele. So there's a lot of things, that I'm getting aligned into it, but it's pretty easy once things get going. It's just going to be a slow going right now.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just second thought. I was like dealing with the big company, you know, you got to do everything right before you get on your own.
How'd you like the episode as a viewer?
Oh my God. I can't even, it was so good. Like, even if it wasn't me, even if I wasn't watching myself, I was standing on my bed like this, like yelling at the TV, even at myself. I didn't realize how well I did in the game at first because it was such a flash of adrenaline and, but being able to watch it, I was like, you go, girl. I was just ecstatic. And it was honestly the best episode that I've seen so far. I mean, the last episode was awesome. I laughed. It got me really hooked to it. And then this one, man, if you're not hooked after this episode, like, you got to see who's coming next.
It was so good. I mean, I really think that the show's hitting its stride. It's building momentum. I mean, how about the news this past week? With over 24 million viewers between Peacock and NBC.
No, I know. That's insane. So what, this is like NBC's like first, second, what, reality TV series within a couple years?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, 24 million views. I didn't even know. I woke up one morning and I saw it and I was just scrolling because I thought it was for something else. It said Deal or No Deal. And I'm like, I'm a part of that. That is amazing. It is. It's just the best feeling ever. Even though, you know, the help, I'm sure a lot of the viewers were supporting Boston Rob and stuff, which I do wish that they did portray us contestants a little bit more because, you know, once, if anything does happen, you know, like Kim's gone, Claudia's gone. If Rob does go, what happens, you know, with the show? Do people just stop watching? Nobody has been really connected with other characters other than what they've seen in the show. You know, other than me saying I'm a pest control technician in the first episode, you don't really hear about anything or me calling people cockroaches, which I was totally calling people roaches a lot.
Like, I believe it.
Yeah. But I was like, what a roach, you know, like I would have liked to seen that a lot more, just to see more support, I just want to see the views go higher and higher. And I think next episode, I literally think it gets so much better every episode. And I'm surprised every single episode. So I'm excited.
It's building momentum like a snowball rolling down a mountain.
It really is. And I'm actually so surprised. You know, there was a lot of people that were talking bad about it. And just from the beginning moments, you know, like, what is this? This is mixed with Survivor. This is going to be a bust. But people are choking on their words. They're going to need an EpiPen for this.
Well, you know, it's like, I go to church out here and I talk to people and they're like, hey, what have you been up to? Because I, you know, just came back out here after being in Chicago for the last few months. And people, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm actually covering the show Deal or No Deal Island. And people are like, I saw the promos. That show looks so good. I've been meaning to watch it. I'm going to check it out on Peacock. Like a lot of people who aren't even like huge reality show fans, like that are a little more maybe casual, but they loved watching Deal or No Deal back in the day. And they're like, wow, this is cool. Like Deal or No Deal's back. It's a new game. It's like Survivor and Boston Rob is in it. I've got to watch it. So it's been really cool.
Yes. Yes. I mean, a lot of my customers, a lot of them are really older customers, and I'll talk to them about it and they're like, oh, we saw it on the news. We saw you on the news. And they're like, I started to DVR it. And I was just, there's the cutest thing ever. I love the support. I'm getting like I said, I have like 200 customers with this company a month, and I am getting blown up. They're like, they didn't even know most of the time. They see me on TV and they're like, you are not the girl on Deal or No Island, are you? And I'm like, yes, ma'am. She said, when did this happen? Yeah. Cause I had to take like I had to take a month of absence. So none of my customers knew where I was at. I felt like I was going to come home to like missing persons report. But my job held it down pretty well and let them know that I was on vacation. Little do they know I'm running through the mud and climbing trees and, I mean, getting beat up every day. I had bruises up and down my legs.
So you said in the episode, like, I really like the reveal of, I think they were trying to deceive the audience for actually a couple episodes, because last week they said you were they showed you saying that you're not wanting to do anything strategic. And then they talk about that early in the episode. And then they make it look like you're going to be the person that will do what Aaron says. Like if nobody knows anything about you in real life and they've just watched this show, they're led to believe, oh yeah, this gullible Miranda.
I know. I hate that though. I was like, they fooled me too. I was like, no way is that me. Like what? Like I even wanted to message the producers and be like, what is this? Who is this brunette on the show? Cause it ain't Miranda.
But they throw a nice curveball because then they show you saying, yeah, you know what? He wants me to do this, but I'm going to take out Alyssa when I win. And you said, I don't get sad. I get effing angry. I have my own little blind side for him coming up shortly.
Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, my God. And I, like I said, I love a blind side. I love a shocking moment. It's TV. Why not have it? It hasn't really been happening. So that was such a perfect moment. And like I said, I could have gotten Rob out, but the wow factor I would have gotten getting Alyssa out would have just been so much greater in the moment.
You were trying to make a good TV moment no matter what.
Oh, yeah. And it felt good because, like I said, like even if I didn't have an issue with Alyssa, because Alyssa was close to Aaron and Aaron pissed me off, that's what I was going to do. So, you know, it's the same thing as don't let your enemies know, you know, what's closest to you, because that can be taken away fast.
Miranda, are you in this Facebook group, the Castaways Deal or No Deal Island?
I don't know. Is there like, yeah, is it like a yellow profile picture maybe? Wait, maybe I'm
checking. It's a cover photo of Deal or No Deal Island. It's got 300 members. I just want to give them a shout out because they like the podcast here and they've been promoting the Jack Vita show and our interviews in there. So they had said, hey, can you give us a shout out? This is a great group for talking all things Deal or No Deal Island. So
what is
you guys
it?
Should go and check that out. It's called The Castaways Deal or No Deal Island.
Castaway. I feel like Amy's on there, but I could be wrong. Castaway.
Yeah, Amy. It says Amy's in here.
Oh, there you go.
It's your one-stop shop. If you're a big fan of this show and you want to talk about Deal or No Deal Island, this is a place to do it. So I will link to that here in the show notes.
I joined
it. Oh, good job. Good job. Miranda, you know, we only got a few more minutes left. Is there anything that else that you really wanted to discuss while you're here? About your time on the show?
Oh my God, I have so much to talk about, even like the first episode with you. But it's okay. We'll just keep it this episode.
Well, we got 10 minutes, so whatever you want to touch on.
Well, I will.
The floor is yours.
Well, I will admit, you know, Alyssa seemed pretty confused when Aaron chose me up to be the banker. There was a moment where Alyssa thought she was going up to be the banker. And, you know, but from the recordings, I saw that Aaron did not want that to happen. So she was under the impression she was actually going to be the one going up against the banker that night. So I don't know where the confusion happened, but that's what I heard from her. I don't think in the video it ever showed Aaron wanting to put her up against the banker. He wanted to keep her safe. As if the banker's a scary guy. He gives out money. Come on. Donald Trump. I'm trying to think of anything else. You know, it was such an awesome opportunity. And, you know, the money that I got is just going to do... It's like I said, I feel bad for anybody who is not able to go and play around a Deal or No Deal because it's fun. And you should go and try it yourself, season two.
I should. Yeah, really, I'm going to have to get that application in soon.
Now, who would you act like?
Who would I play like?
Yeah.
I think I'd probably play like Nick. I think what you...
What? That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
I think what you want to do if you play a show like this is you want to keep a low profile. You want to be friends with everybody. So you don't want to ever appear too threatening or too in control, but you want to be like a well-liked person. And I think Nick is playing a great game in that regard. Yeah. And I think they're probably not to say that like he and I are like the super, super, super similar, but we're both, Italians. So
I kind of see it. I think you would be great. I think you would be a little bit of a Nick and a little bit of a Boston Rob because, in these games, if you're not prepared for a blindside, that, I mean, you, like, I was prepared. I was picturing myself in Alyssa's position, and if Alyssa did that, I would be like, yo, that was good game, you know, like, and some people, they take it a little bit more personal, and they think, like, oh, you did this to me because you don't like me, and it's like, no, it's just because the opportunity presented itself. You put yourself into a position where, you know, checkmate.
So you had some thoughts on the first episode. Is that right?
I think it was the episode with when I had spoken up to Stephanie about taking the case. You know, that with the whole plan situation, you know, it's still a little bit confusing to me because they had this plan, you know, thought out. And so I was like, okay, well, you guys have a plan thought out. This is great. I don't have to do anything, but I'm aware of the plan. It's happening. All right. You guys are going to figure it out. And then, you know, when she's sitting there and she's very confused and she already knew that she wasn't going to take this plan. She was like, you know, I don't got beef with Kim. You settle your beef with Kim. She then was kind of confused and then she didn't have a plan after that. And then I had spoke up and I was like, hey, you know, take the lower case, like, because that's the plan that I heard when Alyssa was like, hey, this is what's happening. We're going to be doing this. So when she didn't want to take immunity and that she was confused at what was going on, that's why I chimed in. So I just wanted to say, because everyone's like, who is this girl who's just randomly talking now? Who is this brunette? And I was just like, I was just bothered. I was like, all right, come on. We've been here for 20 minutes. Pick a case. Let's go. And then, shocking twist, Claudia gives up her case. It was such a weird challenge. And then the freaking tree falls. So that was such a weird challenge. And when we got back, like, Alyssa thought she had a target on her back. Stephanie thought she had a target on her back. Even Claudia. Like, there were so many people who thought they had targets on their back just from that one challenge. Like, everything kind of blew up. And I think that's where things started to kind of take a turn with... Who, like, oh, wow, she was shady, or wow, why didn't she do that? I think that's the day when, and then Claudia went home and people started kind of questioning a lot of things.
What would you have done differently if you were to play again, or if you could get a do-over?
I don't know. Like I said, my strategy still worked for me in the end. I was put up because
Aaron thought I was the most trustworthy. He didn't put up Stephanie and he didn't put up Amy because he wasn't trusting. Anything could have changed, though. If it wasn't Aaron up against the banker and it was Amy, I would have continued to move forward. So, there's always going to be something different I'm going to do. You're always going to learn from your mistakes. And there's little tiny things I could critique. I probably would want to do more so I get more edits and not, maybe I would talk more things on camera and create more of a narrative for myself. But still keep my strategy to myself. So I think that's what I do. I think I would talk to the cameras more because I also assume that the cameras were not on my side. Like, the confessions and stuff. They're like, oh, tell me what's going on. Who do you not like? And I'm like, I'm not telling you. We're in a competition here, guys. So
that was strategic not to reveal too much information because you didn't want that being leaked to anybody else.
Yeah.
But on the downside, then you're not giving them much to work with. So you can't really get much TV time then.
Exactly. So not much to work with for TV time. But evidently, it kind of worked out. Next time I'll do a little bit more talking, giving myself more of a narrative. Because again, this is my first reality show. I did phenomenal at the competition. I just needed to kind of learn the ropes for more of a reality stage and making myself not have the edits of, she has no strategy, which I think led up to an amazing Blindside. If people did watch all the shows and not just the edits or not just the clips, but if you watch from first episode all the way to fifth episode, it all makes sense and it kind of all ties together.
Well, if you need to learn anything about confessionals, you can always call Boston Rob.
Yeah, I know, he's good. Hey, I'll just watch his videos and learn from there. But yeah, he knew how to create a really good narrative for himself. So it definitely wasn't his first rodeo. And I could definitely learn a couple things from him, for sure.
All right, Miranda, is there anything else for now? Well, you can come back another time and talk more then, but if you got more for now, anything for now?
I think we're recapped right now. If there's anything we haven't spoken about, I want everyone to know that like everything done in this game is all gameplay. We all talk to each other outside the game. There's no hard feelings. Aaron isn't this guy that I hate, so. It was an awesome opportunity, and for somebody to get chosen for season two, they're special people. You only get 13 people out of thousands and thousands of people who, like I said, I was going against people who were TikTok stars and survivalists who did YouTube videos of surviving in the outdoors for 2 weeks and they would video record themselves. I recorded myself in my truck. So there was a reason why I came on this show, and it was just kind of like the best thing that's ever happened so far. And I'm so excited to see where it leads me. I want to go on the challenge next. I would love to do Big Brother and Survivor for sure. Survivor for sure. I think I would. Oh man, it's not like Banker's Island where they washed your clothes and did your laundry. No, I would definitely have to forge a fire and use my survival skills on that. But that'd be fun.
Well, Miranda, before we say goodbye for now, would you like to throw out your Instagram or social media handle so people can follow you, or would you like to plug or promote anything?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, my full name, Miranda Rose Harrison. It's pretty easy. Miranda Rose Harrison. I'm wearing pink pants. You can't miss me. So, and I'm down for any questions. Don't be afraid to DM me and ask me questions. I still, can't answer everything, but I can definitely help out if anybody's confused or wants to know more about me.
Miranda, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it. I'll definitely see you soon, okay?
All right, y'all. That concludes our... It was a combination of an exit interview and a... recap, and hopefully it was the most detailed, in-depth recap that we've had so far during our coverage of Deal or No Deal Island with Miranda Rose Harrison. You guys can follow her on Instagram. She's so much fun. It was great having her here on the show, and I'm sure we'll do it again sometime during this season. So if you guys enjoyed this, make sure you subscribe to this channel. We've got an interview, Stephanie LaGrossa and I. We've got an interview coming out on Friday with one of the winners of The Traitors. I won't spoil that. If you haven't seen Traitors, I'll give you a couple days to binge Traitors, and then you can join us for that exit interview. I'm doing a lot of sports content over on my other channel. Go, make sure you guys go and follow that if you're a baseball fan. MLB preview series, lots of division previews featuring guests such as Dan O'Dowd, Bob Nightingale, Jim Callis, a lot of the heavy hitters in the baseball industry. So make sure you guys are following that. You can follow me on social media at Jack Vita Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Subscribe to this show, subscribe to this channel. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever it is that you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week for another recap. Actually, I don't believe we'll have exit interviews next week, but we will have something else. So stay tuned for that. We will have some special Deal or No Deal Island interviews. Until then, I'm Jack Vita. Bring in the Dancing Lobsters.